a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Amazing grace. Some hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And they act on his wonderful words, and they come to the Lord Jesus and find in him that real soul rest they needed. But maybe some of you hesitated and you said, if that preacher knew what a sinner I have been, he would know the Holy Son of God would have nothing to do with me. I know how you feel, and the Lord Jesus knows too. And so he also said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Surely this should remove every doubt. Sinner though you are, yet the Lord Jesus assures you that if you will now come to him, he will not cast you out. Neighbor, you can search the world over, and you'll never find one person the world over who came to Jesus as a repentant lost sinner, and he turned him away. Not one. During his earthly ministry, he made this promise good, even to harlots and thieves. He never turned one down. These words are now sent by the Holy Spirit as God's message to all the world, to you. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But some say, I don't like that. It sounds like he takes me for a cast out. This wounds your pride. You think of some immoral daughter or prodigal son whose parents had to cast them out? Yes, and you must confess yourself along with such sinners as only fit to be cast out by God because of your own wickedness. I mean as God knows you, not as friends think of you. They only think, but God knows. There were only four persons who knew the depth of my wickedness. The first was God, against whom I had sinned. He knew the thoughts and intents of my heart. The second was Christ. He knew my sins, for he bore my sins and shame at Calvary, suffering the just punishment which they deserved. The third was the Holy Spirit. He knew my sins, and he convicted me of them. And number four was the man who speaks this message to you. And so with you. God knows all those evil thoughts, those vain ambitions, those base lusts and covetous desires in that heart of yours, and you know them too. Why not then be honest about it and own up to your sin? The Holy Spirit convicted me, saying, David, you're a wicked sinner. I said, no, I don't do what other people do. I don't go where they go. I don't talk like they talk. The Holy Spirit continued, David, you're a wicked sinner, and you know you are. The arrow of truth shattered my pride, and one night I owned up. I pled guilty. I took the place of the cast out, and Jesus took me in. Hallelujah. And he'll take you in too. But you've got to take that place, the place of the lowest sinner, deserving only to be cast out because of your own wickedness. Herein is the amazing grace. The Lord of glory, the King of kings, reaches down from the highest throne in heaven to you, a beggar in the dunghill, in the horrible pit of sin. He holds out his pierced hands to save you, as he assures you, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amazing grace. He wants to receive you for his very own. We built a Samaritan inn to sleep and feed destitute travelers. We gladly gave them food and shelter, but if one asked to be taken into our family as a son, that was far more. That was asking too much. It is truly wonderful the blessings of God's salvation in Christ, that we may receive the forgiveness of all of our sins and have eternal life and much more. But these are but God's gifts and his blessings. The amazing grace is this, that Christ wants to receive you and make you his own, and that God will make you one of his children, and the Holy Spirit will dwell in your body. How wonderful. I'll never forget a Youth for Christ meeting we had in a high school auditorium. I got some of those who claimed to be Christians on the platform, and I cross-examined them. I said to a girl of 12, you say you're going to heaven where Jesus is? What would Jesus want with you in heaven? He has legions of angels to serve and worship him. That little Christian did not hesitate as she replied. Listen, the Lord Jesus would not be happy in heaven if I were not there. That's just the way it is, too. Oh, neighbor, may your cold heart be melted by the love of Christ to realize that he wants to save you and make you his very own forever. But someone says, wait a minute, preacher, you're going too fast. How about my sins? I don't wonder you say that. The Spirit of God has been troubling you about your sins, hasn't he? Yes, and you're scared, and well, you might be, as you foresee the day when God will bring you into judgment for all those sins of yours. You might well ask, how about my sins? I've got news for you. Sinner, listen. Take it in. Don't miss a word of it. There is a place, and only one, where a holy God can meet a wicked sinner, and he will not say a word to you about your sins. You say, preacher, that's hard for me to believe, for every time I read the Bible, it faces me with my sins. You're just imagining that. No, I'm not. Listen to the Bible verse. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. How wonderful, yet true. If you meet God at Calvary, he will not charge you with your sins, but he will point to that person on that middle cross and say, see, sinner, there is my holy son. See that awful load he's bearing? That's the load of your sins. What an experience will be yours at Calvary as you see your sins all borne by Jesus Christ, your substitute Savior. I'm telling you, you will love him, and the burden of your heart will roll away as you cry, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. And this is a personal offer. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him, me, I. It is one person to one person. You must have this personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not, then one day he will cast you out into everlasting punishment, as he will say, I called you, but you never came to me. Let me bear a little personal testimony. And when you come to Christ, you too will have a story to tell. As a lad of 15, alone in my bedroom, I came to the end of my rope. For the first time, I was ready to give in and own up that I was a wicked sinner. When I did, I found right there and then, waiting for me, was the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, ready to receive me and make me his own. I received him, and he received me. 5 minutes before 10 o'clock, I was as miserable as a fellow could be without being already in hellfire. And at 10 o'clock, I was as happy as a person could be without already being in heaven. I'll try to tell you, but it's hard to find words to express just what happened. That night, my load of sin was so heavy, I felt I couldn't stand it an hour longer. And my conscience gave me a fit. I had come to my end. I was done. I was lost. Right there was where Jesus found me. He came to seek and to save the lost, you know. He took me in and made me his own, and I am his, and he is mine forever. I tell you, it was so real to me, I just kept saying, he's mine. I know he's mine. And here is more. That burden of my heart rolled away, and that was over 66 years ago. And that burden of sin and guilt has never returned. It's gone, forever gone. That night, a person crossed my path. Others said of him, he's a Jew, or he's a good man, or even he must be the Son of God. But in him I beheld my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. In that bedroom that night was a bashful boy of 15, afraid of his own voice. The rest of the world did not know he existed. But that night, that lad made a choice, Christ for me. And that choice was destined to affect hundreds of thousands of people over the world. As millions have heard the gospel from my lips, have read it in my messages, or from the thousands of our Bible signs, I shall see in heaven a multitude thus led to Christ. And then, through their testimony, I'll see a far greater throng. Colonel John Fain, led to Christ through our highway Bible signs, said to me, David, you'll have a lot of spiritual grandchildren. for the Lord is using him to win hundreds to Christ. See then how far-reaching was the choice of that lad on that memorable night. And if you too make Jesus Christ your choice today, who can tell the far-flung blessing it shall be? But suppose on that night I'd said, go, thou Holy Spirit, go away and let me alone. I don't want to become a Christian. What a tragedy would that choice have been, not only to myself, but to my family and all those I would ever know, men, women, and youth, the whole world around. No man liveth unto himself, says God's word. The most solemn part of our lives is the influence they become to others, an influence for good or for evil, for God or for the devil, to lead people to heaven or to hell. So, neighbor, wait, hold it. Don't turn Christ down. Think of its consequences to yourself and a multitude of others, for no man liveth unto himself. I plead with you to say, yes, I will, to the Lord Jesus. Make Christ your choice, and you will never regret it. In all the world, you cannot find even one who turned to Christ and lived to regret it. In these over 66 years, I have found my dear Lord Jesus to be altogether lovely. This is true of no one else. I have not found my loved wife to be altogether lovely, and I'm sure she's not found me to be either. Jesus is the one and only person who is altogether lovely. I have found Jesus to be all-sufficient. There's not a circumstance, there's never an emergency, never a need that I face that he is not the master of it. Christ not only has the answer, but he is the answer to every need. And I found my blessed Lord Jesus to be the one who never fails. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't tell you that I never fail. I am ashamed of the times I failed my Lord, but he never failed me. And he never left me nor forsaken me. Day and night, he's right there, whether I'm stuck in the mud on a road or plotted against by the enemies of the gospel. He never leaves nor forsakes, but he loves and cares for me all the way home. This is my beloved. This is my friend, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is to me, he will be to you. And what he's done for me, he will do for you. You need my Lord Jesus Christ. You know you do. I plead with you to right now come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he assures you, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'll fall on your knees before him and say, Lord Jesus, I come to thee now. Amen. Now just one final word. Some people think they're wonders in their conceited pride, but others count themselves as worthless, just big failures. I confess, when the Lord Jesus received me, he didn't get any wonder, but just a worthless liability. I was the dummy of the family, and only God could see any potentialities in that dumb farmer boy. Neighbor, when God created man, he looked around to find the nearest thing to nothing, and he saw a handful of dust and dirt. And from that he fashioned man, the supreme wonder of his creation. And God is still seeking the worthless, the helpless, the hopeless, the outcast. Does this brighten your eyes with hope? Do you confess yourself to be that kind? Then call on the Lord Jesus to receive you and make you one of his own, to be a new person, to live for his praise and glory, and to be a blessing to a multitude. Then, when you and I meet in heaven and we see the fruit of our Christian lives, we will fall at the feet of our enthroned Lord Jesus and give him all the praise for both what he saved us from and what he saved us to be. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.